The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Certainly does. Good morning, Jefferson.
Good morning from Janet Chandler.
We're all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed here. I'm the host today with my co-host, Janet Chandler, Wynn Carpenter. Our friend Terry is out on assignment. He's got a pretty good assignment going today, so he's going to be enjoying his time where he is. And we're going to hang out here, and we're going to talk some good stuff here about what could be done here in Shasta County and how we can get things fixed, hopefully. So we're going to open that up, and you can call in to 605-4567, 605-4567, and you can listen at 96.5 FM or 1460 AM or 1460.com or KCNR1460.com online if you'd like. And our guest this morning is Laura Hobbs. Good morning, Laura. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm well. Thanks.
Good. So we're going to spend probably about an hour talking about all this good stuff here. And so what do you have for us?
All right. Well, we're working on a charter amendment, which is as of the first of the year, we became a charter county.
Mm-hmm.
And this charter amendment is going to allow us to go back to conducting elections the way we used to, hand counted at the precincts using voter ID, and also cleaning up our voter roll, starting from scratch with a brand new voter roll.
Do you know when we stopped doing that? Do you have any idea when that occurred?
I don't know precisely when, but this is something we did for hundreds of years.
So we have a little bit of history with it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's where I was going, to find out if we actually truly did that for any length of time.
Yes.
Okay, so we count them at the precincts, and mm-hmm. then we send the numbers in to the from the precinct to the ROV office. And then they tabulate all that, and then they know where we're at, correct?
Correct.
That sounds pretty simple.
Yeah, and while we're counting, we go ahead and tape on the door of the precinct the counts every hour after the polls close. Every hour, you tape the counts up there so the public can see exactly what's transpiring.
They did that a couple of years ago, and actually photos of those taped tabulations were shared, you know, in a group of, I don't know how many people saw it. Maybe it was on Facebook. I don't remember. But I know mm-hmm. I received them from different folks that were out and about. So it was cool to see that, you know, because not all of us are able to go around to all, but 59, 60, something like that, precincts,
yeah.
and to check the numbers. So, you know, share it on social media, whatever, we can see where it's at and see where it's running.
Right. It's full transparency. That's what this charter measure is about, is complete transparency of our elections and increased security as well.
So totally unlike what we have now.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Laura, before we get into the details of this, I would like some legal background on how you have the authority to even work on this petition. Obviously, you're basing it on the Huntington Beach case.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And that was adjudicated, and Huntington Beach did get some sort of a win from the state.
Yes.
So can you explain where you are getting the authority based on the Huntington Beach case, what they actually did win, and what can happen now? I see that the information I have said the court finds that this matter is not ripe for adjudication, yes. So I would like to have that explained.
Okay.
And the petitioners shall have 20 days to file an amended petition. And did that happen? So give us a background on the legalities.
Okay. So Huntington Beach City, they voted on a measure that would mandate voter ID at the polls when you go to vote. And the state of California said, nope, that's against state law. We're going to take you to court. We're going to sue you. And they put in a writ of mandamus so that they would block this from happening. They lost their case, and that judge ordered.
Who lost the case?
Sorry, the state of California lost the case, and the judge ordered that basically they need to rewrite their writ, as you just said. What they did instead was they filed an appeal, but that has not been heard yet. So that's recent. So the what the judge based his ruling on, he cited Huntington Beach versus Becerra. And that was an earlier ruling in Huntington Beach. Huntington Beach had said, we're not going to follow the law, and in particular as it had to do with enforcing immigration laws. So the state of California made some law basically saying that the localities were not allowed to enforce immigration laws, right?
Okay.
And Huntington Beach said, no, actually, we are going to enforce immigration laws in our city. It's within our rights. And the judge again, in that case in 2020, actually ruled in favor of Huntington Beach City as a charter city. And the
So once again, against the state.
Yes, they ruled in favor of the charter city.
Okay.
And the reason why they have that authority is because of the California Constitution, Article 11, in particular Section 3, Section 5, and Section 6. And it states that the charter cities and the charter counties, we're a charter county, have the charter law has supremacy over the state law when it comes to municipal affairs.
So is the county considered municipal?
Yes.
Okay.
There are things that have to be defined and you know. That's one of the criteria they use to adjudicate a case like this is whether it's a state affair or if it's a municipal affair.
Gotcha. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the state cannot interfere with municipal affairs, but obviously when it's an election, any voting for state officials or beyond is not municipal. So does this mean it only applies with a split ballot?
I believe it actually is municipal, and what we find in the, if you look at the California Constitution, it's modeled after the United States Constitution. And the United States Constitution leaves it up to the individual states to decide the manner of their elections. So you have some states that do caucuses, others that have different methods. Some do hand counting, not whole states, but different counties within different states. So... So basically, it comes down to this concept of federalism. And I'm not a historian, but there were the Federalist Papers that were published where our founding fathers went into great detail about the powers of the federal government versus the powers of the states. And by the same analogy in California, the California Constitution gives the counties great plenary rights. And of all the different state constitution, California Constitution gives the most rights to the counties. So because of this, you know, this is kind of an age-old argument, is even back in the day when the, you know, you had the 13 colonies, they were trying to decide, they didn't want to give away their individual rights.
Right.
And that was one of the huge problems, was they did not want to be controlled by a tyrannical government or give rights away to a government that could then become tyrannical.
Right.
So we're kind of back in that same place again today. We're back at square one, where we have a tyrannical, overreaching state government, and we have to claim our rights in the localities.
Okay,
in
so,
Shasta County.
So we make that claim. So do we have the, I guess as the citizens, do we have the jurisdiction to do that? Does the Board of Supervisors, who is our next level up, do they have the jurisdiction to do that? And if so, where is that cited? How do we pinpoint that and point to it and state it so that they do follow that? How does that work?
Right. So... So this whole argument we're talking about, I just want to give you, they call it home rule doctrine. So those of you that want to look this up online, you can learn more.
Okay.
But basically, our county, as it stands now, even given that we have a charter county and all this stuff, there are things in the California election law and the California government code that give the governing body, which is our Board of Supervisors, that give them jurisdiction over elections.
Okay.
So California Government Code 25201, that says that the governing body shall, be responsible for all manners of the elections, appointing inspectors, judges, and even all the way down to canvassing elections, which means counting the ballots. So
canvassing isn't just going out and taking neighborhood poll information. It is actually counting the ballots in the registrar's office.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's defined by California Election Code 335.5.
Okay.
there's also different areas of the election code, like 19107, which says that the governing body gets to decide the method by which the voting occurs, which is basically either any voting system or combination of voting systems. So it gives that authority to the governing body, which is the Board of Supervisors.
So when you say the counting of that, they can do it by hand and not use a machine at all anywhere in that election.
Yeah, and Alexander Habberbusch wrote a manual that he called the hand-counting voting system. So you could look at that as a voting system in and of itself. Alexander Habberbusch is an election lawyer and constitutional lawyer. And then there's California Election Code 19001, and it says, this division shall be liberally construed so that the real will of the electors, that's the voters, will not be defeated by any informality or failure to comply with all provisions of the law. So it states right in there that, following state law just for the purpose of following state law does not supersede actually ascertaining the will of the people.
A concept that we need to remember here is that before we formed what we now call the United States of America, we had individual countries called Connecticut, New York, Georgia, etc.
Right.
And they existed before there was a central government. The same holds true in California. Before we had the state of California, we had individual municipal cities that already existed with their own governments and their own rules and laws, San Francisco, Los Angeles, etc. So we have overlaid a central government on our states, and we have overlaid a central government on our cities within our state. So things that existed before a central government have to be recognized as having authority still.
So how do we get back to that?
With the Municipal Affairs Clause of the Constitution and yep. Municipal Affairs Doctrine.
There you go. We go full circle.
So just as the states delegated powers to a central government federally, the cities delegated powers to a state. But that doesn't mean that they lose all of their authority.
So then how do we educate those who represent us and those who support our representatives within our local government to learn this, to understand it, and to act on it?
Oh, that's why we bring Laura here to talk to us.
how do we make that happen?
Right. Well, that's a very good question, and I feel like this is information they don't want the public to know because they don't want the public to know their rights. If you're not aware of the right, you can't assert that right, and it's the same as not having that right at all.
Well, and being ignorant is not an excuse.
Yeah.
We have to learn these things so that we understand what's going on so that we can act accordingly and hold those who represent us accountable. Mm-hmm. And those who are supporters of support staff, if you will, of our mm-hmm. representatives, we have to hold them accountable as well.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
now we are basing what Laura is going to talk about on this municipal affairs doctrine. We're basing it on the lawsuit that was brought by the state against Huntington Beach and lost, giving Huntington Beach some authority over their elections. So now that we have established some authority, Laura, what is it that you intend to do with that authority?
Okay, well, this is what we intend to do, and we want to bring a petition before the voters, and we have to get 10% of the people who voted in the last gubernatorial race, which is approximately, 8,000 to 10,000 signatures, to sign the petition. This is a long process. It will take us about a year to, you know, get through all the steps. They put in these waiting periods by state law. So this would come before the voters on the June 2026 ballot, and then they could vote on it. They could decide for themselves if they want this or not. The alternative is that the Board of Supervisors, if they read this and they like how it's written, they can enact it immediately, and it would become active before the 2026 election.
So if they read everything and it's all the T's have been crossed, I's have been dotted, and everything is clean and proper, they can just adopt it? And they can,
yes.
So the day they adopt it can become effective?
Yes. Okay. Unfortunately, we have a county council, Joseph Larmer, who is not a proponent of these things and has advised our Board of Supervisors against this type of thing.
And that goes back to what I just asked a moment ago. How do we get them to understand and to act on it?
Yes.
I mean, because he's a staffer. He's not accountable to the public.
Right.
He was appointed by and hired by the Board of Supervisors.
Yep. And it comes down to, I mean, we're finding out through the USAID scandal is that it's not for and by the politicians or for and by the appointed non-elected people. It's for and by the people of the United States, we the people. So we have to draw a fine line between what we've been told versus the reality of the situation.
So has the Board of Supervisors received a copy of this yet?
I believe they have. In fact, the county council right now is going through it. They have the authority to write the summary of this this initiative.
Right.
And that will be placed at the top of each petition. So what Joseph Larmer is going to do is take this, what I've written as far as not the written text of the initiative, but the statement, the summary statement.
Okay.
And he's going to write his own summary statement.
Laura, you're getting pushback from the board about whether or not they have the authority, and they're being told, no, they can't. What is that controversy, and where does the controversy arise? You said something about Article 15.
Oh, Article 11.
11.
Section 3, Section 5, and Section 6. That's of the California Constitution, and it's what's referred to as home rule, which is...
But was there something in the election code? I don't know.
So
was that, the number 15 sticks in my brain. Is there an election code there or something?
Are you thinking of...
I don't know. Was it just the conversation with Kevin Cry?
Oh, okay. It was Article 11 that I was referring
okay.
to. But, yeah, another one that I'd like to point out is the California Constitution Article 2, Voting Initiative and Referendum... And recall, Section 1 states that all political power is inherent in the people. Government is instituted for their protection, security, and benefit. They have the right to alter and reform it when the public good may require.
Hmm.
So this is us attempting to alter and reform it for the public good.
So when we make these attempts and we get pushback, and then you were saying that the county council was going to go back through and rewrite the statement,
mm-hmm.
Well, then it's no longer coming from the people.
Right.
It's coming from the county council, who may have a different look at these things, and whether they support it or not doesn't matter, but they will write it whichever way they want. So it no longer is from the people. How does that work?
Well, the written text of the initiative is not going to be changed. That'll stay the same.
Yeah, but you were saying the statement, right?
But the statement describing the initiative can be changed. There are certain limitations as to the type of changes they can make. They can only modify it so far.
Okay.
From
what you initially put in there.
Correct.
Okay,
so if they go as far as to change the intent or anything like that, then we have recourse. We would then go before the judge in an expedited case and ask them to rule as to the fair writing and statement of this initiative.
And, of course, now we're going back before judges once again on a constitutionally protected right. I don't get this. It's just so frustrating that we have to keep going back to court over what we should be able to do as the citizens who are who are the ones who are in control of the state and any governing agencies, we are the ones. Because everybody thinks about the pyramid as going from the narrow peak at the top to the wide base at the bottom. It's inverted. It's the other way around.
Exactly.
The wide base at the top is the citizenry pointing all the expectations and responsibilities to the elected who are down at the bottom at the point that need to act and do what they're supposed to do and
That's
not
correct.
Get off in the weeds and let somebody lie to them and manipulate them into doing things that they're not supposed to be doing and not following the Constitution. They took oaths to that effect, to two constitutions, the federal and the state, in that order when they decided to run for those positions.
Mm-hmm. So when you get pushback from the board on whether or not they have the authority to do this, you are talking about Huntington Beach versus Becerra Nalbonta, and they actually based their lawsuit on Article 2 of the California Constitution and won with it. Is that correct?
They based their lawsuit on Article 11,
Section
5 and 6.
Okay.
So, and they were victorious. Huntington Beach was victorious.
And that stands?
And that stands, yes.
And, now, and they held their election?
Actually, that has not happened yet.
Okay.
There's no...
is the state appealing at this point?
The state is appealing, but they did not ask for, what do they call it, injunction. They didn't ask for injunction. So right now, if they had an election today, the citizens would be asked to show voter ID in Huntington Beach City.
Okay.
But I believe that there is a certain time period before that law comes into effect. So even though they just passed it in March of 2024, I think it is going to be the beginning of 2026 till it becomes in effect.
So why a year and a half later or longer, why would it take so long to put that into effect? I mean, if they voted for it, good grief, it should be on the record and be able to be used in the next subsequent election. If that happened in 25 or even in the latter part of 24, they still should have been able to do that.
Right. I agree. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that we're coming upon the 2026 election. It's going to be here before
right,
we know it.
Right.
And that's why there's still the appeal to the Board of Supervisors to say, look, why don't you enact this right now?
Mm-hmm.
And if they do that, it will speed up the process. It'll also give them a chance to get all the glory for it as well.
well, let's just do the right thing.
Let's
just do the right thing and get some glory, right?
Yep.
Okay.
You know, right now it's looking like the current board that we have does not have an appetite for this. They don't want to go up against the state of California and lose. They're worried that it's a fight too big. My concern is what happens when you don't fight? Is that, I mean, to me that's worse than fighting and losing.
Come on, David and Goliath, good grief, we've got some we've got some history there.
Yeah.
You always fight. You fight for, even if you know you're going to lose, you still fight because it's the right thing to do.
Exactly.
And you're fighting for the right thing. Mm-hmm. You do that. It doesn't matter if you're going to lose or not. Good grief. Don't go in with that attitude already in the beginning because then you're already defeated.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody goes into that into a sporting event or anything like that, really, why bother?
Yeah.
What's the point? We go into war thinking that? Really? Why bother?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So frustrating.
Are we getting close to a break?
We got about 2 minutes.
Okay, because I would like to have Laura explain the entire petition and see just what she's asking for and what it will get for the county.
That's
but
a great idea.
I would like to let her do it in toto and not be interrupted.
Okay, well, okay. Mr. Producer, can we go to our break right now, a minute or two early, and then we'll come back and we'll do exactly that. All right, time has come.
For 51.
We'll get her done.
If it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for the town he's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Now we might
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Join Token's radio show every Tuesday night starting at 6 on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as host Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Token's radio show with Linda and Christy Tuesday nights at 6 on KCNR.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Mimi Mosley here from Mosley Family Sellers. We'd just like to thank Redding Rancheria for their generous gift to us. It was so helpful and helped to keep us alive.
Hi, I'm Shelby Mahara with Squishy Doodle Face Painting, and I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Redding Rancheria for all of their support. They always help the community and always help to take care of us when they can.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Everyone that knew him knew each side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for this county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, you've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right, and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything.
Amen to that one. You got to stand for something, boys.
And in Shasta County, we have a reputation for standing.
That's, we do. Right. And that's what, you know, a lot of people, they're selective on what they stand for. Well, if you're not standing for all of this kind of stuff, you know, this constitutionally supported, I don't want to just say stuff, but you don't want to, if you don't want to stand for the Constitution, you don't want to support it, then why are you in these positions? You took an oath to it. You took an oath to the federal constitution and the state constitution in that order when you decided to run for an elected position here in Shasta County. I know that for a fact.
And it's easy. If you stand for consistency and your consistency is based on the constitution, no problem.
No problem. Yeah.
Yep.
You're a strong tower, and you're going to be one of those that will be thought of when you're long gone that you did the right thing by doing this, by standing up. What do you want your legacy to be? I mean, everybody has, you know, things that they think about. Oh, yeah, I want to do this, I want to do that. Well, they have perfect opportunities to have a God-given protected right and a legacy that they did the right thing. And they're doing it for not just themselves. They're doing it for their kids and their grandkids, and they're doing it for all the people that voted them into office.
Yes.
And so, you know, if they have any inkling of wanting to remain in that position and run again or run for other offices down the road at some point, which I'm sure some of them do. When you do these kind of things, that makes a big difference, huge difference.
And I am looking now at a notice of intention to circulate petition. And this is not a Laura Hobbs petition. This comes from several different people. So we're not just looking at one person who came up with this idea. It has support from many. So Laura, statement of the reasons for this petition. What does it do? What do you intend for it to do? And why are you going to all this trouble?
Okay, so the main reason is that our elections currently are not transparent. We can't see with our own eyes whether the votes being tabulated are being tabulated correctly or not using the electronic voting machines. So we want to increase transparency. we also want to reduce the cost, because as the President Trump said the other night, the hand-counted elections actually only cost 8% of what machine-counted elections cost.
8%?
8%.
How much have we spent so far, do you think?
Millions. Millions.
So 8% of millions, and that other money could be, used for, say, law enforcement, fire. How about some roads in the county?
Yep.
Everybody gets their teeth jarred on every city road and county road. So don't you think that millions of dollars we could go out there and fill those damn potholes?
Yep.
So that's what you have to look at and see where you're diverting the money to, instead of spending it in an office downtown Reading for machines. Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. That sit there for how many months without being operable?
Yes.
The machines could not count properly, if you recall.
Right.
That's horrendous.
That's right.
So we should have gone back and had a hand count to verify the machines.
Oh, wait. They did that partly through on Kevin Cry's recall.
The next day.
The day, it wasn't even tabulated yet. It wasn't even done. And they're doing a hand count on his recall election.
And they didn't charge him.
100%.
And they didn't charge him for it.
And it was free.
And it was free for him.
For the recall. People.
For the recall. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So how does that work, where they're able to do some things half-assedly, to be blunt, and to do it incorrectly and not to let the system run the course?
I'm afraid it works the same way that USAID money went to Guatemala.
I'm agreeing with you 100%.
For DEI project.
So then let's go back to this. How do we audit the election? How do we audit the precincts? How do we, just down to the nuts and bolts, one precinct. How do we audit one precinct with 100% accuracy? How do we do that?
Yeah. Okay. Do you mind if I read the written text of the initiative aloud?
Go for it. Yeah.
Okay. It says, add an amendment to the Shasta County Charter that specifies elections shall be held on one day with limited absentee ballots, defined as limited exceptions to in-person voting for the infirm, military, and U.S. citizens living overseas. All ballots shall be hand-counted at the precincts according to California Election Code 15272 to 15281, utilizing the tally book format in Linda Rance's Return to Hand-Counting Manual. The ballots and tally sheets shall be projected on monitors so that observers can observe and confirm the accuracy of the count. Precinct manual hand count results will be used for the official canvas of Shasta County. Counting teams of four shall be composed of two Democrats and two Republicans when possible. Counting shall occur concurrent with voting after 11 or more ballots have been cast and shuffled, but tally shall not be released until polls close, at which point the first numbers will be taped to the door and updated every hour thereafter until counting is complete. Countywide election outcomes shall be provided on the night of the election or shortly thereafter. Hand counters shall be members of the public from any political party selected by fair and transparent public lottery of volunteers 60 days prior to election. Hand count volunteers will wear a name tag with their first and last name visible to the public. Hand counters shall be volunteers with no expectation of payment. However, the county may offer them a stipend of no more than $100 for their participation on election day.
Okay, I have a question. There seems to be a conflict here. We're going to have two Democrats and two Republicans. Now, is that on the counting teams of four? So each one will have two? But yet you say that they will be selected by a public lottery?
Yes. So everyone who's interested in being a hand counter should have the ability to do that. But the way to make it fair so that no one is excluded from that process is to have a public lottery.
So you'd have a barrel of Democrat names and a barrel of Republican names, and
that would be the only way you could do it.
But that would be the best way.
What happens to the independent voters?
They can, any political party can do that. So ultimately, I think we're going to be able to have enough slots for everyone who wants to participate. We just kind of put that in there because what's happened in our county is that, even though our elections office says they're nonpartisan and they don't discriminate based on party, they actually do. If you go to the election office and look at the composition of the workers there, they're very much I don't see conservative representation, let's put it that way.
But then we have the problem in Shasta County, there are more Republican registered voters than Democrats. So if you're
making it equal,
then it's unequal.
Yeah, it's not going to be equal 100% for that very reason. So I just said when possible it'll be. So if you think about it, you're going to have two people who are calling out the votes. You want one of that person to be a Democrat, one person Republican, or one person independent, one person Democrat, or whatever. And then on the other side of the table, you have the talliers, and you want one of those talliers to be a Democrat, one Republican. But it's not hard and fast that they must be a Republican or they must be a Democrat. It's just an attempt to give equal representation to both parties.
I find this to be quite tediously unattainable.
Well, let's continue reading. We haven't finished yet.
Okay. Rather than just read it, can you give us a summary, just a kind of a list of what is in here rather than just reading it out?
Okay.
So what as a list are you working towards?
Yeah. Basically, this will amend the Sachs County Charter to include languages that election takes place only on one day, Election Day. Limited absentee balloting, which is the way that we used to do it. The ballots will be hand counted by volunteers at the precincts. And the ballots and tally sheets will be projected for the observers to view the process, so it'll be completely transparent. The ballots will be counted without ceasing until the final results are obtained. That's also going to increase security. Instead of having a, 28 days before the election, 28 days after the election, where people can fraudulent intentions can manipulate ballots, you get it all done in one day and counted. So there's less interference that way. The results will be published on election night or shortly thereafter. Voter ID will be required to vote, and voter rolls will be controlled and maintained locally. They will not be connected to the state of California, and they will not be connected to the internet. Paper poll books will be used at the precincts for voter check-in, and a new voter roll shall be created upon implementation of this measure.
So then that means the old voter roll will be essentially burned and destroyed and no longer accessible, no longer usable in any form or fashion, correct?
That's correct.
And so then you would have a whole new, brand new, clean voter roll for those who are able to be voters in Shasta County legally, lawfully, and morally and ethically. They would be a good, clean slate to start from. I think that's a great idea. Now, I have a question, though. What machine is used to post the results on the door at each precinct?
Oh, they would just be handwritten.
They'd be handwritten?
Yep.
Okay, okay. That was because I was thinking, okay, if it's tabulated and posted, it's like, well, wait a minute, how's that done? So truly, you're right, if it's hand counted, you have a standard sheet that you would post there and just fill in the blanks with the numbers, right?
Yes.
Okay. And they would sign off on it. Whoever is the one overseeing the results of that would sign off on it, so we know John Doe, Susie Doe, whoever they may be, are signing off on it.
That's correct.
Okay.
I have a question about the voter rolls. According to the lawsuit that California filed against the city of Huntington Beach, it said that this is immaterial because California already has developed a statutory scheme, I love that word, that balances the right to vote with protections against illegal voting, and they have stated that voter ID and qualifications are generally confirmed with documentation and under a penalty perjury during the registration process. So they say, well, we are already covering this ID problem. How? What are they doing that's requiring voter ID? Just penalty of perjury, saying if you lie, we're going to really be mad at you?
Exactly. And when you register with the DMV and whatnot, there's no signing off with penalty of perjury.
That I am a citizen, therefore I am.
Yeah. So you can't, when you're doing the DMV registration, the motor voter, they actually get to register to vote without showing anybody their ID and that they are citizens.
But if they're getting an ID at DMV, is that what they say qualifies them to be a registered voter?
I believe. But basically what this measure would do is that no third-party NGOs, DMV, even the state of California, none of them will be allowed to input any data into our voter rolls here in Shasta County.
Hallelujah, that'd be
unless
great.
They're verified for eligibility first.
And that sounds like a perfect world. I don't imagine you're going to get any pushback from California.
You'll only get pushback from California on that one. Okay, so then if we're hand counting at the precincts, which I think is a wonderful idea, and we should do it because we used to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to the why reinvent the wheel? Because apparently this wheel is going off the rails here somehow. So why not keep it simple and keep it accountable so then we can count at the precincts, do it that way. And then once you have all that accounted for, that's done, then those numbers are set aside, and then you do the other. Are there going to be mail-ins? That's the other question. What's going to happen with mail-ins? And is the sheer volume of mail-ins going to be the same that it is now? Or is it going to be less?
Let's distinguish between mail-in and absentee.
Okay.
I think under your plan, there will not be mail-in ballots.
That's correct.
Absentee ballots, and there is a difference.
Okay.
Yes.
So okay, let's tell us what the difference is between those so that people understand.
So right now, everyone gets sent a mail-in ballot, whether you ask for one or not. What we'll go back to is the limited absentee, and the way that works is that you can request and be granted the opportunity for a mail-in ballot if you have if you're sick and you're not able to make it to the polls, if you're a military overseas, and if you live overseas, but your citizen, your domicile is here in Shasta County.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you will have mail, you'll have ballots to come through the mail, but it won't be to the extent that it is now. So I'm guessing, I don't know what the previous stats are, but I'm guessing maybe a couple thousand come in through the mail, given those limited exceptions.
Okay, and they would have how much time to get it to the ROV office? Because you can't do 30 days anymore.
Yeah. Well, why not? It has to be there by the day of
election.
Yeah. These things are sent out weeks in advance.
Correct, and I agree. So, and it can come from anywhere in the world within that time frame, I would assume.
Yeah, so we've always had methods and ways to deal with this. Mm-hmm. And generally, it's such a low percentage of the total ballots that it doesn't affect the outcome.
Okay.
So we will be counting those ballots because every ballot needs to be counted.
Absolutely.
However, you know, if it comes in a couple days later, say you have a couple hundred that come in a couple days later, those will be counted as well. So you might have to make last-minute alterations. But for the most part, the election results, you know how mathematically they can figure out that they've gotten, you know, 99%
right.
of the precincts counted.
Yeah.
And if you have this 0.02% that's still not been counted, it's not going to change the outcome
right.
of the election.
Right.
We have someone on the line.
Okay. Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Hey, hi, guys. Laura, hey, question about the... hello, Wynn. Hello, Janet.
Hello,
hey,
Laura, Andrew.
I have a question about the absentee. I work out of town. I'm not home on election day. I'm not in the military, but it's an inconvenience for me to come home and miss a day's wages, basically. To vote, is there going to be a provision for that as well, I hope?
I would think so. I think that people can ask for these limited exceptions and be granted them. But ultimately what it comes down to is that we've chosen security and transparency over convenience. And we feel like that is, we have to go back to being involved civically and doing our civic duty, and that means a little inconvenience every once in a while.
But we also want to make sure that everybody is included.
Correct.
Yes.
Right. Well, no, I want one day voting. I want ID.
But so you also want to vote.
And I also want to vote. But, you know, I showed my bona fides down to the registrar's office, and before this, you know, everybody got a bill, I was getting an absentee ballot. But I proved my bona fides to them at the time. Hopefully an exception can be made. Otherwise, I'll take a day off. I mean, that's important to me.
True patriot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If they approved you in the past, you would be approved under this, too. We're just going back to the way it used to be done.
Well, and thank God.
And I think no matter how you vote, you should have to show ID when you register. It just makes sense.
Yes. And, you know, we used to have to... I believe I had to show a birth certificate when I, you know, signed up years ago in the, you know, Napa County and so on and so forth when I was raised. But anyway, we will win the date. Fear not. Thank you so much.
And Andrew, we will make sure that you remain on the voter rolls.
There you go. Thank you, Andrew.
Bye.
Laura, I have a question here about the, you want to make sure that the things are maintained on a computer with open source software that's not connected to the internet through cable or wireless modem. We have had some experts say that as long as you plug it into the wall, you are accessible for hacking. Is that true?
Even just to get power?
Yeah, if you plug it into the electric outlet, it can be hacked.
Hmm. Yeah, so this was the second part that I didn't get to read yet. Do you mind if I read that out loud so people know what you're talking to?
Yeah.
Okay, the county, Shasta County voter roll shall be maintained on a computer not connected to the state of California nor any other third party. A voter roll shall be created upon implementation of this measure. A new voter roll, sorry. The voter roll shall be maintained on a computer with open source software that's not connected to the internet through cable or wireless modem. Now, here we're talking specifically about the voter roll still. With periodic backup into external hard drives. Only paper poll books shall be used to check in voters on election day. Voter rolls shall be kept clean by permanently removing individuals who are deceased, moved out of county lines, or have addresses that are undeliverable. Inactive and canceled voter lists shall be held within a separate database on a different computer, also not connected to the internet. Only U.S. citizens shall register to vote using a government-issued ID. All voters shall produce this ID to verify they are on the voter roll on election day. Third-party and DMV voter registration shall not be added to the Shasta County voter rolls until verified for eligibility. So in this case, we're specifically talking about the voter rolls, and if it's plugged into the wall, it could be hacked.
Well, that is true.
Yes, but it's by far limiting the opportunities to alter with our voter rolls.
What if they're plugged into a battery pack that is not plugged into the wall? You have a battery base that charges, and then you remove it from the wall, from the power source, and then you have a battery pack that you can plug the computer into. Will it still be hackable that way?
I think the answer to that would be yes, but the thing is that what we're finding, Dr. Andrew Paquette from New York has been analyzing voter rolls in all these different states, and he's seen that they're using complex algorithms to create these kind of cipher codes to hide illegitimate voters within the voter roll, and it's happening at the statewide level. So a lot of this fraud that's going on can be eliminated by returning control to Shasta County, giving us our sovereignty back. And, yes, there could be fraud happening within the county. But if you think about it, the fraud, in order for it to affect the outcome of a large statewide election, they would have to go into each county individually and do that.
So 58 fraud openings rather than just one at
right.
the state level.
Yeah. And the thing is, too, it's not giving us our sovereignty back. It's we taking it back.
Yes. We have Steve on the line.
Hey, Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
What's happening?
I just want to cut to the chase. So county council says he's basing everything on precedent, which is not law. Is this correct?
That's correct.
So it's right back to the 2020 election. All these judges saying that Trump had no standing. You know, I was told that we've had like 6 or 7 cases lost by these liberal judges. So now they're making county council is saying now that this is standing. So that's where he's at. I mean, isn't this where the rubber meets the road? We're talking the law with Haberbusch, and he's talking standards.
Right.
Right. Two different animals.
And I'd like to mention that lawyers, you know, they specialize. So a city or a county council is a lot different than an election lawyer. They have different areas of law. It's just like doctors. You have brain surgeons and you have your GP. Well, Joseph Larmer is our GP, basically. And he's not listening to the opinions and the advice of other election specialists.
And did he take constitutional training of any kind in law school? Because they don't do that any longer.
Yep. They do, but it's precedent.
It's precedent. I take that back. You're right. It's precedent. It's not actual diving into the meat of the Constitution and learning it. Yeah. Yes.
And we have precedent on the Supreme Court, but how many times have they gone back and corrected themselves because they decided wrong?
Correct.
Plessy versus Ferguson, Brown versus the Board of Education,
Roe versus Wade. Yes.
And I'd like to just also say that we've been misled by county council in the past with this Zuckerbucks money.
Yeah.
They went behind the board's back,
Nothing was said about it. There was no consequences. So what's to stop some other attorney that has an agenda from doing the same thing?
Elon Musk. That's what stops them.
Yeah, we have our own DOJA department here in Jasta County.
And I would like to even take that further and to talk about how the county council controls the boards, not just here in Shasta, but all throughout the state. We're seeing that a lot of these county council people have worked for different counties, and they're all interconnected. It's our basically our local swamp. So, for instance, you know, Alan Long is married to Margaret Long of Prentice Long. Mm-hmm. Joseph Larmore used to work for Prentice Long. And Alan Long, or sorry, Margaret Long's partner, her wife, or her husband, sorry, her husband works as a board of supervisors in Trinity County. So there's this underlying network, like the USAID thing, an underlying network of non-elected officials trying to control our local governments.
So bureaucrats at work once again, or still continuously.
It may be hard not to be cynical.
You're right, yeah, Steve, you're right.
Sure. No, you should be cynical. Absolutely. We should all be cynical. That's how we keep honesty.
And we keep them accountable to it, so we have to start acting on it. And thank you, Steve, for your inquiry.
Thank you.
Questions. Good one. Wow. So so it's still happening here in Shasta County, no matter what we do. It's still happening. And like you said, you just gave a perfect analogy of the list of how people are all connected. And, well, Joe Larmer, he was down with the Newber Sutter County before mm-hmm. he came back up here. He lived here, but he worked down there. So right next to Sacramento.
It's just the merry-go-round. You get on and you ride for a while, and then you get off at a stop, and then you get back on. It's
the same
horses on the merry-go-round.
Right. And then, too, when you were talking about earlier about the the attorneys from different places. You know, I think Steve's just said it. But we've had county councils that have done awful things here in Shasta County recently, and mm-hmm. some of them should lose their license for what they've done. But no, they got to go off and go do their thing because who we have elected didn't want to hold them accountable.
Yeah, they get mm-hmm. back on the merry-go-round and
do it somewhere else. Do it somewhere else, or they're still doing it here on behalf of what's going on in our county. Mm-hmm. So they're doing it from a distance, and they're doing it without who knows what's going on behind the scenes. And that's the part that's so frustrating to me, is that we, the people, are paying for it in every aspect.
Yep.
Every aspect we're paying for it.
Absolutely. So,
Laura, we have this notice of intention to circulate petition. What's the next step?
Okay. Well, as soon as county council goes over it and makes their statement, we'll be publishing the petitions. We'll be asking for signatures. You can contact us at saveshastaelections.org, and you can click on there to find out a signing location. You can also click on there to become a volunteer. We're looking for volunteers. There's a 45-second form you can fill out to get involved in that. And this is going to be a countywide effort. So the more people that join, the better.
So, again, say that website again.
It is saveshastaelections.org.
Okay, perfect. And then, okay, we've got a little over a minute left. So what do you want people to know or to do, or are you looking for help? Whatever.
Yeah, we're looking for help. We really want people to get educated and to know their rights and to know these are God-given rights. They aren't rights that have been, you know, that we have to beg for or ask for.
Right.
We already have these rights, and we just need people to start asserting those rights.
Okay.
I think we all know what we want with our elections, but it's just a matter of standing up and trying to get it, and it's never easy. Obviously, we are getting pushback already from at least one council, Board of Supervisors member. We're going to get pushback from the state. But we have to be like Trump. You just stand up and say, this is how it's going to be. We're going to fight for what we want.
Well, and it goes back to, like I mentioned earlier, their legacy. What do they want to leave behind? I mean, you know, what are they leaving for themselves as the elected official and their constituency, constituency number one, for each county district they represent, but the county as a whole, and then their family, you know, I mean, if they have children, grandchildren, what have you, what are you leaving behind? Are you going to look back and think, oh, crap, and have a bunch of regret? Uh-uh. No. I would rather have gone into the battle and fight like hell, come out bloody, and have regret then if I lost. And at least I tried.
People are always asking, how do we fight the state? Well, how you fight the state is by 40 of the 58 counties standing up and doing something like this.
Exactly.
20 of the largest cities in California is doing what Huntington Beach has done.
Exactly. All right. Well, it looks like time has come.
For 51.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.